Welcome to Running on Carbs podcast. I'm Coach Val, a wife, empty nester mom, and executive level professional. I picked up running later in life as a way to burn off excess energy after moving to a plant-based diet in 2017, running my first marathon at age 47 and entirely fueled by plants. Now, I help other driven women to achieve their own running goals while starting or refining their plant-based way of eating. We all have busy lives, so this podcast is here to break it all down in easy, everyday, stress-free language that delivers the practical tips you need to power your runs and inspire your mind. Whether you love the discipline of training for races or simply running for fitness, you'll find everything you need to run your best life on carbs right here. So in keeping with my promise of efficiency, let's get started. Hello, and welcome to Running on Carbs podcast. I am your host, Coach Val, and I want to welcome you to episode number 5 of the Running on Carbs podcast. Super excited that you are joining me here today. I have a bunch of fun stuff to go over today about traveling and about racing and about how to do that functionally while maintaining a plant-based diet. A bunch of tips for you today. So get out your pens and paper if you can. Otherwise, you know, make a note, come back to this episode later, listen through, and then come back and take some notes if you need to. There's going to be a lot of tips that I got for you today. But anyway, I wanted to share just real quick that today was such a fantastic day. I record some of these podcasts a little bit early before I release them. And today was the Carlsbad 5000, which is a 5K race, but they do a number of 5K races all day long. There's like the women's and men's masters, and then the, you know, the younger runners, and then they have a junior 1K, I think it is 1K for the kids. And then they have the people's race, which is just runners, walkers, joggers, everybody. So whoever wants to join can join in. It's a non-competitive race, although it's timed, it's just not competitive. And then at the end of the day, the pros run, and they're actually running for a purse of money. Today, normally I like to stay for the pros. I love to watch them, but I had somewhere to be for family engagements, so didn't get to stay to watch the pros this year. But this is my third year running the, or participating, I should say, in the Carlsbad 5000. I'm coming off an injury, so I just walked the race today, which was a whole new and different experience for me. Usually I take part in the Women's Masters competitive race, and, you know, that's a whole level of challenge and fun. But today was just more social. So I got to just chit chat and talk with a bunch of different people throughout the race, and had a lot of really good conversations with people that I otherwise wouldn't have been able to have the opportunity to have those long chats. So it was a lot of fun, just a really nice day. They changed the course this year, so it runs straight down past the beach in Carlsbad, California, and just does a, you know, out and back, basically just down the main road, flip around, and then come back the other side. So you have ocean views the entire time. It was just a beautiful race, beautiful day. My one disappointment, though, is I have never, ever done a race where I did not get a medal at the end because they ran out. That was a new experience for me. I've heard of this happening. And I know that happened last year for one of the Big Six marathons. I want to say it was the London Marathon, if I remember right. Correct me if I'm wrong, I'm sure you will in the comments, but big race, and they ran out of medals, and that was really disappointing. And I think if I was running a marathon today, I'd be pretty disappointed, but considering that I was walking a 5K, I was okay. So felt hopefully the runners and the people who really, really wanted them and worked hard and trained for that fast 5K, you know, got their medals, I hope. I can wait a couple weeks until they mail it to me. But it was an odd experience to finish a 5K or any type of race and not get a medal at the end. So it was kind of weird. But anyway, it was a fun, exciting day, and I got my shirt to show for it. and I'll be pre-registered and signed up for next year. So today I wanted to talk about some travel hacks. So I'm going to jump right into today's topic. We're going to talk about race travel hacks on a plant-based diet. When you are traveling, sometimes this can be a real challenge if you are on a plant-based diet because you don't know what food's available where you're going, and you're not quite sure, what might be available either on the road, on the way, or once you get there. So definitely planning is key to traveling while on a plant-based diet. Sure, if you're one of those that just likes to wing it, you can try. But you might be hungry for a while, so I don't recommend it. But I'll give you some tips today on how to make that simple and easy. But traveling for races, I mean, there's such an allure to it. There's so many thousands of options for races all around the world now that people are traveling more and more. It's becoming a business all of and of itself. In some cases, there are actually companies that specifically cater to runners who want to run races in different places in the world, and they make it a whole travel experience. But you can travel pretty much anywhere and find anything from a small race to a big race. You could find short races, 5Ks, 10Ks, all the way up to marathon and ultras. The availability of races has really grown. I think the numbers as far as like pre-pandemic to post-pandemic are still down a little bit, but they're coming back quickly. So we'll have to watch and see what those numbers do over the next couple of years, but races are coming back with a vengeance. You know, it's a nice excuse to travel too, because you've got somewhere to go, you've got, you know, something planned as far as like what you're going to do when you're there. It's a real good reason to make an excuse if you need one, to hop in the car and do a road trip or jump on a plane and go somewhere new and participate in an event that's just a lot of fun. And not to mention, there's a lot of building up to it. So if you're doing a longer race, you probably have a race plan. And something that you're planning toward, you're working toward, and you might have been looking forward to it for, you know, I don't know, 2 to 4 months. So it's something to look forward to and plan for, and a great excuse. And when you're there, like today, like I was talking about, the people who are coming from other parts of the country, maybe where it's pretty cold. They come to Carlsbad, California, and the sun is shining and it's like 68 degrees, maybe 70 plus in the sun. And you're walking along the road where otherwise it's closed, and you get to see the sights on foot, and you really just get to look around and absorb and take in your environment and your surroundings. And then other times they close courses or close roads or give you access as runners, as part of the race course, to places that otherwise aren't available on foot. I'm trying to think of one. I did one in San Francisco area. It was the Spartan Trail Race. And that was absolutely gorgeous. And, you know, the route that it took, and then it brought you back after coming through the Marin Headlands, then you ran across the Golden Gate Bridge. I mean, sure, you might have been able to map out that route on your own, but to do that as part of a race where things are all cordoned off and you don't have to sit there and, you know, look at your map every turn and make sure you're going the right way, gives it a really unique experience and way to see what you might not otherwise have mapped out and seen. Another race that I did was in Nevada called the Dam Great Race, and that's D-A-M for like water dam. And it crosses over two time zones. So you start off in Nevada and you cross over into Arizona across the dam, and then you do a turnaround and come back. So when you cross over into Arizona, you're in a different time zone. So it's kind of a fun, unique novelty to the race. But that road up there by the dam is closed to traffic usually. So to be able to run that route is something unique and interesting because you wouldn't otherwise be able to participate or to see that view because it's not typically open except for the race course. So it's a fun way to see things that you might not otherwise get to see if you were just in a car or something. I also liked on that road, on that race, that you get to run down the highway. And, you know, it's a highway, so it's always closed. You're not going to be walking on the highway. And when you're running out, so it's on the way out, early part of the race, the views ahead of you are just gorgeous. I mean, the mountains and everything are just stretched across as far as you can see. And you're running down a hill, so, you know, the effort is easier. It's not a big hill. It's just kind of gradual grade. And early mornings, so you're just taking in the sunrise. It was absolutely breathtaking, so beautiful, different perspective when you're so close to Laughlin, Nevada, which is, you know, completely different scene, very, you know, city and casinos and all that. So anyway, nice to get different perspectives. When you are traveling, there's a couple ways that you can keep your costs down because, you know, the race entries are going to be quite a bit usually. It depends on the size of the race. You could spend anywhere from $50 to, you know, $250, depending on the race that you're going to. With the average, maybe roughly between the $100 and $150 mark, maybe for a half or a full marathon. You know, that in and of itself is an expense. So I love traveling by car whenever I possibly can. And with being in Southern California, there's so many races available in California and Arizona and Nevada. So there's a lot to choose from in just easy driving distance within the day. But traveling by car is a great way to keep the expenses down. Even if gas prices are what they are, it's still better than flying. You could also rent an RV or a Sprinter van. That would be an awesome way to go. I'm very fortunate that I have a family member. My sister has a travel trailer. And so we would do travel trailer races sometimes, take the travel trailer, go to the race, set up, you know, at a park or something. And that was awesome. You can camp. So, and I mean, I guess you can call travel trailer camping, but I was thinking like tent camping, but you could do either. So you can camp at your location if that's convenient. There's a race that I'm aware of, but I haven't done, on Catalina Island off the coast of California. And when you do that race, a lot of people just send, you know, take their camping gear over. There's a bunch of campgrounds on the island and they just set up and they camp and then they do the race. So that's a fun experience and unique and different. You could pick low travel season races. So find where you want to go in a season that maybe isn't quite as expensive as other times of the year, and see if there's any races that you want to do in that area, and then find maybe lesser expensive travel costs to go there, like hotels, if you're going to stay at a hotel, something like that, or you're staying outside the high season. Another idea is to work backwards. So find a great travel price and then look around and see if there's any races nearby. I know a lot of people are going to visit family at different times of the year. And so they're like, well, I'm going there anyway. Might as well see if there's some race to do. So they start looking around and seeing, you know, within an hour of wherever they're going, is there somewhere that they can, or some race that they can do, 5K, 10K plus, depending on their training at the time. So it's fun if you can incorporate, you know, fun time, social time, and race time. Got to get your run in anyway, so you might as well. One quick tip is there are Holiday Inn Expresses pretty much everywhere. And I've had a lot of good luck with Holiday Inn Express. So if you're trying to keep the budget down and you don't want to stay in expensive hotels and such, check out the Holiday Inn Express. It's just, I get no money from any of this. It's just something I've found. And they oftentimes have little kitchenettes or they'll have at least the basics, like a microwave, refrigerator, et cetera, in the room. So they're kind of somewhat set up and they're all over the place and they're fairly reasonably priced. So they're a good option. If you are looking for a hotel, though, and you don't want to stay at a Holiday Inn Express or there isn't anything there, another option is to maybe look for something that has a mini suite. And you might spend a little bit more initially on the room, But if you calculate in the cost savings that you'll have by not eating out and finding restaurants and things like that that have your plant-based options, especially if you're traveling with other people, that can get pretty expensive. So if you can find a place like a Residence Inn, something of that nature, where they have a full kitchenette that's all stocked up with utensils and plates and cookware and such, that's a really great option. I love to do that if I'm going up to Costa Mesa or Huntington Beach area. There's one there, and there's a number of different races in that area. And it's so convenient to have that whole kitchen right there for you. So you can actually cook a real full meal if you want to. But if there's no fridge, so you just have a basic hotel, there's no refrigerator or anything in it. I think that's a little rare these days, but I have run across them occasionally, especially if you're staying in a smaller town. Then pack a collapsible cooler if you don't have a fridge. So you can buy those, you know, anywhere, Amazon or whatnot. But one that just folds up and goes flat, that's insulated. And take that with you, pack that in your bag, and then take that with you. So you have at least something to keep some cold stuff cold. But there's a lot of travel or benefits to traveling by the road rather than flying if you can. One of which, of course, is you can bring your own food. So you could bring your own food for the trip itself, you know, for the road trip. You could bring your own food for meals. Excuse me. And just plan your stops along the way. Make it an adventure. If you're traveling to wherever you're going by road, you know, check out what sort of restaurants are along the way, even, you know, the quick restaurants. By the way, there is a Chipotle in pretty much any town everywhere. So along the way, sometimes I look for the Chipotles because you get rice and bean bowl, no problem. And it's nice and quick and easy and filling and simple. If you could travel by car, don't forget that you're avoiding all the crowds and the germs on the plane. So if there's any other reason to travel by car and not by plane, that's probably the biggest one. You gotta stay away from those germs just before a long race and after a long training plan. Another great benefit is that you're gonna have your pre and post race staples. I don't know about you, but I'm a real creature of habit when it comes to my food before and after races. And one of the things that I have to have before a race are my steamed beets with my balsamic vinegar. That is my go-to have to have kind of item. So if I'm doing a race and I'm going to travel to it by road, I just pack in my beets and a little vinegar in a travel container and bring them with me. And you only have to have one little container. I don't need one for every day of the week that I'm going to be gone. So just bring that in a little container and I have my beets before my race. So my body is like, okay, I understand this. I get this. This is what I do every time I go for long runs. I have my beets. I have my Ezekiel English muffin and my almond butter. And I've got my staple meal and I can bring it along with me so that my body is accustomed to it and happy. It's a lot harder to do that when you are air traveling. But even when you're traveling by air, if you have a hotel near grocery stores or something, you might be able to get it. The problem then is if you're not going to stay there very long, it's a lot of wasted food. So anyway, you know, pros and cons, you do what you can. But I got to say the best part about road travel and traveling for races by car is road trip Oreos. We always buy the gluten-free ones because my sister is also gluten-free, and usually I travel with my sister, so we have to have our gluten-free road trip Oreos, and that is the best part of traveling for races, hands down. So they count as carb loading, by the way, at least in my book. So if you want another excuse or you need one to eat Oreos, there you go. They're carb load. So I'm going to give you some tips on cooking in a hotel room, and I can't take all the credit for this because actually I don't know how much credit I can take for any of this except for maybe one. My sister is also the best at efficient, like small packed items, efficient, what's the right word? Like compact cooking. So again, she has a travel trailer. So she's really good about space saving. That's the word I was looking for, space saving. So when we travel to hotels and we're going to stay in a hotel without the RV and we need to have some way to cook, if we're not staying at like a Residence Inn or somewhere with a kitchenette, then she brings all this great cooking gear. So number one, always bring your own toaster. So BYOT, bring your own toaster. I have this little super duper cheap, tiny toaster. It's a little two slice toaster that I got from Walmart for, I think, $8.99. And it's just a little cheapy thing. So if something happens to it, I'm not going to cry. But it's so small and compact just by its nature that you could put it in a suitcase and it packs so great. Or I could put it in a bag and just bring it in the car, you know, with me. So it doesn't matter where I'm going, I can always bring my own toaster. So bring your own toaster. And they're really inexpensive. You can find them at Walmart or Amazon or wherever. There's one on, on Amazon that has a single slice. And so the single slice one is really handy if you only need, you know, one, or if you just need the extra space. The other thing is a hot plate. Hot plate's really important if you're going to cook anything, you want to heat anything up, especially if you don't have a microwave. So even if you do have a microwave, sometimes you don't have a bowl or anything that's going to work in a microwave. So having a hot plate is really handy. And then a little set of camping cookware. The camping cookware is so ideal because it all folds up and sits within each other. It sort of nests like nesting dolls. And it has a little baggie that you could put it all in as a storage bag. And it keeps everything together in just a really tiny, small, you know, space. And you've got your utensils for eating, for cooking. You've got little pots and pans for, you know, preparing the food. You put that on your hot plate, put your toast in your little mini toaster, and you are set to go with like three little items that pack up in your packed luggage. Always put that in your packed luggage, unless you can fit it in your checked bag if you're flying, but otherwise you can put that in your checked luggage, no problem. So before you get to the hotel, or even if you do get to the hotel and you don't have a way to make all your own food, eating plant-based on the go, there's a couple of good tips for doing that. First, it takes a little research. So research your restaurants ahead of time. You know, what sort of restaurants are going to be available in the area where you're headed? And then, of course, on the route on the way, that could also include, by the way, route on the way, airports. So if you're traveling by air, you know, what terminal are you going to be in? What sort of restaurants are in that terminal? If you really have no clue, there's no way to find out, just pack your snacks. Always, always bring your own snacks. So bring your own toaster, bring your own snacks. Again, there's a Chipotle, by the way, in every town. So if worse comes to worse, find a Chipotle. Meal prep ahead of time, though, if you can. This works best, of course, if you're going to travel by car. So meal prepping your meals for what you're going to eat for breakfast, lunch, dinner, or, you know, a couple days of, that you're going. Maybe you're going to eat dinners out, but you're going to have breakfast and lunch at the hotel. Prep those. Have them ready in little meal containers and actually just bring those with you. That is the simplest way to go and will keep you most on track without having cravings and without having temptations or desperation. It's just having your food with you. Plan your post-meal race ahead of time. Post-race, you're going to be hungry most likely. Some people have no appetite, but a lot of people are just like ravenous and they're just like, feed me anything. I don't even care anymore. So you want to prep for that, especially if you know that that's how you get after a race, then you want to prep that ahead of time and know what meal you're going to have. Where is it? How long does it take to get there? Have a little snack before then. If you planned ahead, then hopefully you brought with you your post-run snack before you get to your actual post-run meal. You know, always making sure you've got the balance of your carbs and your protein. I love the Scratch vegan protein drink. I have, there's a chocolate one that they're that I love. And so I always bring that with me. I have it all prepped in my shaker bottle. And when I get back to the car after the run, after the race, then, you know, shake that up. It's awesome. So, and it keeps me satiated until I can get to my actual meal later on. By the way, always bring enough water. Most places that you travel around, you really want to have your own bottled water. I made that mistake myself when I did my marathon, my one marathon so far. I didn't pack enough bottles of water, gallon bottles of water, and I ran out too soon. So the night before the marathon, I only had enough water left in the water that I brought, the gallon jugs that I brought. I only had enough to fill my water bladder for the next morning and to have my pre-workout, pre-run drink for the next morning. And then for the night before, though, I wasn't able to hydrate as much as I should have. I should have been having more electrolytes. I should have been having more fluids the night before. And it did cost me during my marathon, because toward the end of the marathon, I ran out of water in my bladder and I ran out of electrolytes in my bladder. And I had to take on course water, and it wasn't enough. And there wasn't enough between, you know, the distance that I had to go. So it was really hard, and that slowed me down toward the end, because I started getting dehydrated at the absolute worst time of the marathon toward the end, you know, the last 10K. So always, always bring a little more water than you think you need. Bring those big gallon bottles of water, bring an extra one, extra two, especially if you're driving, you'll find room for it. You will thank me later. Also, if you are traveling somewhere and you don't want to bring everything with you, or you don't want to pack all the cold stuff or the fresh stuff, hopefully you can just go to the grocery store once you get wherever you're going. That's what I love to do. And it's a lot easier than trying to pack things like kale or some, you know, fresh food or lettuce or salad makings. Usually what I like to do is we get to where we're going, unpack, and then we go hit up the grocery store, get all your fresh foods, like I said, your salads, your kale, whatever, fresh veggies and fruits that you might want for your trip while you're there. Just go to the grocery store once you're there, pick it all up. If for some reason that you're in an area or a city or something that isn't real conducive to walking around and getting groceries and stuff, most hotels will accept Instacart and Amazon deliveries. So that's another option, is to use one of those grocery delivery options and pick out your fresh foods once you get there and just have them delivered to your hotel. And also, you don't have to go anywhere and be time on your feet, especially if you're doing a marathon. So there's a good tip. Traveling by air has a couple of little extra nuances because you're a little more limited on space. First off, this is a non-food related travel hack. Never, 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 never pack your race gear in your checked bag. That is dangerous. You could show up to your marathon or your race and your bags aren't there, and they don't show up, and they may not show up at all. But either way, that's going to stress you out, even if they just come a little late. That's added stress to your body that you do not need before a marathon. So always pack your race gear, your shoes, what you're going to wear, your bib, any important necessary fueling in your carry-on. Take that with you. Never let it out of your sight. It's like gold. So you keep that on you. Anything else, you can figure it out. But at least you'll be able to run your race, which is the whole reason that you're traveling. So pack everything else. Bring your race stuff on the plane with you in your hands. You can pack travel-friendly snacks. So back to the food. Things like snack bars. You got to be careful of what you're taking through TSA. So things that are packaged, already pre-packaged, not liquid, snack bars, dried fruit, nuts, things like that are solid. Airport eating, kind of hit and miss. I mean, sometimes you can find some fresh fruit, like an apple. It's usually like a Red Delicious. I don't know about you, but I'd be pretty darn desperate to eat a red delicious apple, but some people like them. But sometimes you can find a banana. But again, you can usually find packaged nuts and maybe even a garden salad. But you're going to be pretty limited oftentimes in most airports, unless you're in a really big one. Even in San Diego, we have a massive airport, but depending on which terminal you're flying out of, you could be flying out of the one terminal that has all the great food and restaurants and options, or you get stuck flying out of the terminal that has like the little coffee bar and a water, and that's it. I've been there before. It was horrible. Actually, they didn't even have coffee. That was the worst part. Early morning flight, no coffee. It was terrible. They had a bar, like alcohol bar, and they didn't even have coffee at the bar. So anyway, it's you gotta know where you're flying out of, and you gotta know what kind of food is available. And if you're not sure, just always bring your own. Always bring your own, at least a little bit, so you're not starving. Pack up your hotel cooking gear. So again, if you're going to be traveling by air and you're cooking when you get there, then pack that little cooking gear that I talked about, the camping gear, in your checked bag. That's fine. If you get to where you're going and the checked bag is late, you know, in that case, once you're where you're going, you should probably be able to find some food wherever you are. Won't be as ideal, of course, but it won't be as bad as not having a race gear. And then focus on good hydration. So don't forget that when you're traveling by air, it's very dehydrating. So you're going to really need to bump up your hydration as you're traveling. So before you leave, for a couple days before you leave, make sure you're really hydrating. You're getting in some electrolytes and some plain water, alternate back and forth, and just make sure for the couple days or the week before you're, you know, depending on how long your race is, but I'm talking like if you're doing a marathon especially, really make sure you're focused on your hydration and getting all that in so that your body is just really well saturated. And then as you're traveling, make sure you're staying hydrated as well, because again, travel is stress on the body, and the body doesn't understand the difference between physical stress, mental stress, travel stress. It's just stress. So you want to make sure that you're really well hydrated as you're traveling. So those are my big tips for travel. I hope you got a lot out of this episode and have some good ideas for traveling. And I hope you've been inspired to go out and pick a race and find one somewhere and, you know, jump in the car for a fun road trip, maybe a girls trip. There's nothing like having a girls trip on a road. So it's just, you know, traveling for races is just a fun excuse to get out there, see the world, have a great time, both on the way and during the race. But in the meantime, don't forget, I have the free plant-based pantry essentials checklist that is available for download. The link is in the show notes. So please take advantage of that. Go take a look. Download the checklist, see what sort of fun items and good plant-based options are available that maybe you don't have in your pantry yet that you should also add. So there's 40 items on there and 9 bonus cold items too. So download that. And if you're interested, I have a waitlist going for the next group coaching program. So you can sign up for that waitlist, and then I'll send you any information on when that comes about, you know, what the, you know, what it entails and when the next one will be. Of course, you can always inquire about working with me one-on-one. If that's something that you're interested in and you have a race coming up, or if you're just more interested in learning more about how to incorporate plant-based living into your lifestyle, then give me a buzz. Let me know what it is you're looking for, and we'll see about putting something together one-on-one if you could use that. But then also, just stay connected with me on social media. If you're watching this on YouTube, drop me a note. I'd love to hear what you think. See if you have some more travel tips. So if you have some cool travel tips too, drop them into the comments below and share with me how you travel for races. I would love to hear that and add to my list. Not to mention, I could always use these fun tips too. I'm over there on Instagram, Facebook, YouTube. All the links are in the show notes, so please reach out. Happy to connect with you. That's what we're doing here, building community powered by plants. So please go out and run your best life on carbs, and I will see you in the next episode.